Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live, the WrestleMania Sunday edition. I am Jason Powell. I will be joined momentarily by .NET staffer John Moore. A couple of things to tell you about. We will be here on Monday and Tuesday. Hayden Gleet will be my co-host on Monday afternoon, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. And on Tuesday, Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News will be my special guest. I also want to tell you guys, check out the main page of ProWrestling.net right now to get $2 for 1 month of .NET membership, the ad-free version of our site. You can hear all of our members' audio content, including last night's NXT TakeOver audio review that I recorded. Also, the annual Brunch with Brian Fritz on WrestleMania Sunday. He and I got together this morning to record that show. And coming up tonight, after WrestleMania, Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett will join me for the .NET Triple Threat as we review the WrestleMania 33 show. All the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Just look for the headline. It should be at the top of the page right now. That talks about the $2 for 1 month special. And we would love to have you on board, sample all the things we do. You get all of our audio content from our entire history with that. Just check that article, 3 different coupon codes, $2 for 1 month of membership, our cheapest 6 month and annual membership pricing available as well. It works out, if you take the 6 month deal, it works out to $4.50 per month on average. If you take the annual, $4 per month for ProWrestling.net membership, the annual pricing option. It is the best deal you will get all year long on those 6 month and annual memberships. I guarantee you that. It is WrestleMania Sunday. I will be doing live coverage of the show coming up at, with the start of the kickoff show, just 2 hours away. I can't believe we are just 2 hours away from WrestleMania beginning, at least the kickoff show. We do have full phone lines already, but 773-897-6321 is a number to call. Once you call that number, press 1 on your phone, and that will let us know that you want to join us on the show today. With that said, let's bring in my co-host for the day, John Moore. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing great, John. Happy WrestleMania Sunday.
Yep, happy WrestleMania Sunday.
Well, John covers all sorts of things for .NET, TNA Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground. What am I forgetting? You're kind of the jack of all trades for the site.
NXT recently.
That's right, yeah. Basically, if we need a show filled, John is our guy. He just jumps on everything and does a great job for us. John, where can people follow you on Twitter before I forget that?
You can follow me on Twitter at LittleJohnM. That's LiljohnM.
And you can follow the brand at ProWrestlingNet. And since we do have so many callers, let's let them dictate where we go. Let's start today with 615. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee. How are you and John doing today?
Doing great. I'm sorry, I missed your first name.
It's Kenny.
Kenny, good to talk to you. What's going on today?
I'm doing fine. I've got a couple of quick questions on the Hall of Fame on Friday, and I did watch NXT TakeOver on Saturday. First off, the Hall of Fame, I thought it was good. You know, I mean, I was surprised how long it was, but, I mean, one of the things with advantages, obviously, with the WWE Network is you can do a lot more long speeches, and then the fact that it was Friday, too, made a big difference. It felt more relaxed, but I think overall, I have to say that the best speech, and this is kind of a surprise, was probably the DDP one. And obviously the worst speech was that whole Warrior War. And, you know, I know you and Wade talked about it, Wade Keller did on one of his shows, the VIP audio show that he does, about, you know, all the things that he said in the past that Warrior did and all that. I mean, I remember I was in college when he did his college lecture tours and everything like that, and the thing about it, his wife read such a corporate script, and, you know, it was just such a corporate thing. I was just so turned off by that. Do you agree with that? Were you turned off by that whole Warrior Award ceremony?
I can't say I was turned off by the acceptance speech. I thought Eric LeGrand did a terrific job of connecting with fans, talking about his own personal fandom. I can't say that I feel great when Dana Warrior is up there. It's really nothing against her. It's just the whole Warrior Award idea that you touched on. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's going to feel differently. I do love Warrior's suggestion of making the award for someone, the unheralded person behind the scenes, let somebody get noticed. Jimmy Miranda was a person he mentioned, and there are so many other people in that company that deserve the spotlight, deserve the recognition, and don't get it. So they're not even honoring his wishes with it. But you said you had more for us.
Yeah, and before that, I just want to say I agree with you. I had nothing against Eric LeGrand's speech. It was good. But kind of switching to TakeOver, I like the show. I mean, to me, the best match of the night, again, no surprise with the tag team match, or at least I thought it was. You know, Asuka Ember Moon was good, too. But were you surprised that at the end of the day, with all the hype about the new championship belts and everything, that there were no title changes during that whole show?
John, I'll let you start with that one.
Oh, it didn't really surprise me. I did end up recording a member's audio where I did go over predictions for the show, and I got I was like 4-1 on them, and the one that I got wrong, they ended up doing what I said anyway, which was protect Asuka and Ember Moon. I predicted a draw, and they went with more of an Asuka heel turn in a way. But I didn't expect them to really change the titles. Like, for one, the Authors of Pain should remain strong. Bobby Roode was most likely, if Nakamura's coming up or, you know, they want to give any credibility to Bobby Roode, he was going to keep the title. And I feel like it's a bit too soon to take the title off Asuka at this point in the Ember Moon feud, because it seems like they can build towards NXT TakeOver Barclays.
Yeah, that was the only title I thought might change hands. Authors of Pain are badass monsters. Revival, I would think, are going to be called up. And I like the idea, if DIY are staying down, chasing the monsters and setting up that big win eventually. I think that can be a big moment. I did, you know, maybe, you know, Asuka, just because she's been working some of the main roster house shows, I thought, yeah, there's a chance she drops a title. But I was actually hoping that Shinsuke Nakamura would lose, because I think we all want him up on the main roster, Kenny.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you in that sense, that I feel like that when push comes to shove, that DIY and Revival will eventually make it to the main roster, as well as Asuka, and obviously Nakamura is going to be in the main roster too. I mean, I just thought overall, you know, that Asuka match was awesome, and I did like where she was trying to go heel, and it worked for a little bit with that ref bump, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's Asuka, who cares? That's kind of that mentality. But anyway, I'm going to get off and let you get into some more callers. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. This is the first time in a long time that I've actually sat down and watched WrestleMania from start to finish, and boy, I've got a lot of work ahead to me. You guys have a good rest of the day.
Hey, thank you so much for calling. Hope to hear from you over the next couple of days as ProWrestling.net Live returns on Monday and Tuesday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Let's move now to, oh my gosh, could it be?
Uh-oh.
248, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Jason.
It is the one and only .net member, Mr. Rabbit, the quintessential, well, the self-proclaimed quintessential stud muffin and number one poster in the .net members forum. What's going on today?
I wanted to ask you something. Do you agree with the statement that .NET Live is the ultimate thrill ride and the most exciting hour on .NET Live?
Yeah, I'll take it, Rabbit. What else is going on?
Are you sick of that saying?
What else is going on, bud? You got some questions?
Yeah, are you tired of WWE saying that all the time?
Did you catch that, John?
He said, are we tired of WWE saying the ultimate thrill ride all the time?
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah. You know, I didn't mind them branding the show that way and, like, the videos and things. It's just a theme for the show. Once they started having the wrestlers incorporated into their promos, it just was too much, Rabbit.
I mean, 205 keeps saying it's the most exciting hour in wrestling TV, but it's not a whole hour. Sometimes it's only 45 minutes.
Yeah, they can't even get that part right. It's not the most exciting, and it's not even an hour. There's nothing correct about that statement, Rabbit.
I know. Now, a question about, I wanted to talk about Cornette. Jim nailed it. Jim just nailed it at
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. What do you guys think?
Say the question again.
Cornette, Jim Cornette.
You just want us to talk about Cornette and the performance? Gotcha. John, I thought he did a terrific job. I wasn't surprised he didn't go off the rails. Not surprised that JBL would tease that he was going to. I mean, that's kind of the fun of Jim Cornette in a live microphone, is you never know for sure what he's going to say. But, you know, he was there on behalf of Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton, and I think also on behalf of his guys, the Midnight Express. I'm sure there's a part of Jim Cornette that would like to go in. I don't know how much he cares about it, but I think he really wants to see Bobby Eaton, Stan Lane, Dennis Condrey all enter the Hall of Fame, get their moment in the sun. And so, John, I guess I wasn't surprised that, you know, he kept it classy.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't expecting him to go off the rails either. I actually didn't see the Jim Cornette part, per se. I did, end up, watching pieces of the Hall of Fame, like the Kurt Angle and the
sure.
Rock and Roll Express part. But, if he's not going to really – I would imagine he doesn't want to sabotage his – friend's chance of getting in. And he's a smart dude. I would assume he would, play ball, per se.
Anything else, Rabbit?
My last question was, Mike Johnson, at PW Insider, had predicted that the Hardys might come in tonight at WrestleMania and show up and take the titles.
Well, Mike's certainly not alone in suspecting we may see the Hardys, whether it's tonight. I don't know. I mean, it's wrestling. They can find a way to add them to that match if they want to. But, whether it's tonight, Monday, or Tuesday, given the way they were written out last night, it was their swan song, clearly, in Ring of Honor. I would assume they're going to be showing up sooner rather than later, Rabbit.
Are you glad that Drew Galloway is there?
I am very happy that Drew Galloway is there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good fit for him in NXT. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura was that guy that appealed to an international audience and definitely propped up the brand. And Galloway can appeal to that international audience. He doesn't have nearly the steam that Shinsuke Nakamura does. But this is a really talented guy, John. I mean, we saw him do some great things in Impact Wrestling that kind of went largely unnoticed just because the audience was down, whatever. This guy can play a hell of a just roster-leading rah-rah babyface.
And he could be that for, to, usher in the new crop of NXT guys. NXT has a pretty good roster now, and Drew Galloway can be that flag bearer of sorts. Yeah, a lot of people haven't seen Drew Galloway's work, where he can be a little sappy at times, but for some reason it works for him because he seems so genuine. So, yeah, and his work is great. He can almost have a good match against anyone. He had a really good match against Grado, of all people. A serious match, for that matter. But, no, he can have a good – I'm expecting some great matches with Drew Galloway, and hopefully he can end up being like the NXT flag bearer and maybe make it back to the main roster in WrestleMania one day.
Yeah, and Robert,
Let me say this quick
because I kind of got sidetracked, Rabbit. But the thing that makes me laugh is that Triple H always has a reason why a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura is there. He needed to get acclimated, needed to learn the cameras. Well, Drew Galloway knows all that. He's worked for the company before, And so there doesn't need to be a reason. But if it comes out, if we eventually get to the point like, why is Drew Galloway still there? Very curious to see what his answer will be. Hopefully, he's just honest. Like, hey, we brought him in to be the guy in NXT for a while, or, one of the major players in NXT. But I got to think that this is, I would hope that this is no more than a year run for Drew Galloway. But you said, last question, Rabbit, go for it.
Okay. You compared Triple H's booking like he did last night. There's no way Vince's booking tonight can compare to that show last night. Again, they just gave you an excellent show last night. And, this is any indication when Triple H takes over, when Vince dies, WWE is in good hands.
Yeah, and we've been saying that for a while. Thank you so much for calling, Rabbit. Good to hear from you. Great to see you got your cell phone back, too. That's awesome. Rabbit went so far last time as to go out of his way to sign up for Skype. He is, I think, maybe right there with me when it comes to not being the most technologically advanced member of society. He's older than I am, and I should know more than I do. I, you know, work online for a living. But he went out of his way to get Skype just so he could call into our last ProWrestling.net Live. But, yeah, I mean, clearly, from a creative standpoint, the thing that I like so much about NXT and these live specials, they don't overbook things. You know, things are logical. You may get a surprise here and there, but for the most part, once they get to the shows, it's done. You know, it's just let the wrestlers do their thing, come up with whatever the finish is, and let them do it. And, you know, even the last show they had, I think it was Toronto, was like, yeah, this is probably the worst of the NXT specials. And it was still really freaking good, John.
Yeah, they're, you know, they just put on solid shows. I mean, you know, we always see the exact opposite when we, you know, cover TNA and to see overbooked finishes left and right. But no, NXT, solid finishes all, you know, all across the board. They don't try to do anything too cute or too fancy. Just, you know, solid wrestling matches. Their storylines have been weak as of late, a few of them, but they still deliver with a lot of good matches.
630, you're up next. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Craig from Chicago. How you doing? Long time no talk.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Craig. I listen to the live casts from time to time, many of them, and so I hear you on there. So, but we haven't chatted in a while. Good to talk to you.
You know, I have a serious dilemma tonight. You know, we got WrestleMania on one hand, and while WWE has kind of been bad, it's still WrestleMania. And then tonight, at the same time, we have the first time in 109 years, the Cubs as world champions playing a game. Opening day of baseball. This is terrible. Oh, the irony.
Yeah, you know, I know Brian Fritz of Between the Ropes joined me today, and we talked about that in the brunch. He's a diehard Cubs fan. He lives in Orlando, but he was born in Illinois, and diehard Cubs fan, and he said that he's going to somehow suck up all the Wi-Fi in the press box at WrestleMania today to make sure that he is able to see at least the banner ceremony or whatever it is they're doing. So I would invest in a second TV, Craig.
Well, that would be pretty awesome if they were raising a banner for the Cubs in St. Louis tonight.
Oh, is that okay? Yeah. Well, then I don't know what the hell he's watching for.
Anyways,
wait a minute. Baseball,
you know,
baseball has the world champions open on the road.
Yeah, believe it or not,
that's
the Cubs
strange.
Of all teams, you know. But then again, you don't want it to open here. It's like 55 degrees here right now in Chicago. You don't want that.
Hey, it's the same weather here, and the Twins open at home now, I believe.
Yeah.
But
well,
anyway, let's talk some wrestling. It's WrestleMania Sunday. What's up?
Yeah. This card just seems so underwhelming. You know, I can't remember a time where the WrestleMania card was this underwhelming for me, you know.
They have so many great pieces of talent. They just didn't match them up well. They needed better matchmaking this time around.
Yeah, they have great talent. I mean, some of the best talent in the history of the company, but the booking, the writing is just horrendous, and it's been that way for the past few years. You know, I mean, we all know Goldberg and Brock's only going to go like a minute. So
you never
Goldberg.
Know. Pat Patterson managed to get Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior out there for quite a long time. Now, I mean,
yeah,
but
I don't think neither one of those was near death at the time like Goldberg is, because he looks like he's about ready to keel over every time he walks out to that ring.
Yeah, he's not in the best cardio shape, but, you know, I mean, you could have some smoke and mirrors. I mean, it could be another 90-second classic. It could. I put the over-under at 7 minutes. That's what I've settled in at.
Right. And the one thing that really drives me nuts is this Universal title. I can't recognize it as a world title. The show has to close with the world title, the WWE world title. That's the top prize in the business. That's always got to be your main event. Otherwise, you devalue the title. It doesn't mean anything. I know they've done that already. They've already devalued all titles, but still, that's the top title, the WWE World Championship. And if they don't close with that, then it just doesn't mean anything.
John, do you agree? What do you close Mania with?
I mean, I agree that they always claim that the winner of the Royal Rumble is the quote-unquote main event of WrestleMania. Then you hear someone like Triple H saying, well, we have like five main events or four main events in WrestleMania. But yes, the WWE champion should mean something. But I remember I was at No Mercy last October or something like that. And, you know, we had a really good, it was the Miz versus Dolph Ziggler match that everyone thought should have been the main event. But in the main event, we got Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt. And this feud is just, for some reason, Randy Orton, just for months, even before he joined the Wyatt family, just seemed out of place in this feud. And it looks like they are trying, and, you know, it's, there was some long-term story building, but I did, you know, it's just a bit underwhelming of a feud. And it's like, you don't get, like, Randy's motivation. Bray Wyatt has powers. Luke Harper might pop up every once in a while. Who knows?
Yeah, my thing, it's, I would close with Taker and Reigns. That said, I don't know what the finish is. You can't just point to, well, it's got to be the WWE Championship. They're going to want to send the crowd home and probably with a happy ending, or just even the Seth Rollins year, an ending that wows people. I don't think Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt are going to wow people. I think they can have a good match. I don't think they're going to steal the show. I think the build of the match has been atrocious for some of the reasons John said. They may feel otherwise, but yeah, I can't say I go with that match. And you know, they may want the Universal Championship to feel equal to the WWE Championship. So, Craig, we're gonna have to agree to disagree on this one.
Well, you know, that's okay. As far as Roman Reigns and Undertaker, if Roman Reigns wins, that crowd's gonna get nasty. I mean, really nasty. This is a diehard wrestling crowd, and I just can't see how they can pull that off and get him out of there safely without getting hit with some garbage and debris.
Well, very good. I appreciate the call. I do have to rush you. We've got so many people on hold. I want to try to get to as many people as I can today. 773-897-6321 is a number to call. Yeah, I mean, they're expecting this, John. I mean, they know the reaction Roman Reigns gets. They are playing into it for this WrestleMania. They will still, you know, they could surprise us, but they've still been telling us that, well, this is the reaction that he gets, so he is a heel, whatever, and all that nonsense. But I made it very clear. I think the thing that they avoid, the question they avoid answering when they have JBL work so hard to tell fans that you like Roman Reigns and you just don't know it, which is basically the theme of his comments on the Bring It to the Table show. His big thing is he's doing all, you know, that he's having all this success and all this, and my big question is, yeah, but would he make more for the company as a heel? And yeah, he might lose out on some merchandise money, but another babyface can step up and do that, and Roman Reigns can help make that person. I'm not an anti-Reigns guy. I'm a firm believer in giving the fans what they want. They want to boo this guy. I say give him that, because I think Roman Reigns could be a hell of a heel, John.
Because Roman Reigns is the top merch guy only because they probably position him as the top merchandise guy. But yes, no, he can end up making more money for the company as a heel, like this, as a prototype. Like, look at what they did with, say, the Usos or the New Day. And the New Day might be even, you know, up there with Roman Reigns as far as merchandise is concerned. And it took a heel turn to get them to show, like, their real personalities, or to get them out of this weird WWE mold of you know, prototypical babyface. Same thing with the Usos. And, you know, they should just figure out this to, you know, get something that works with Roman Reigns, and the heel turn, it seems more towards Roman Reigns' natural demeanor.
Hey, gang, I'm an idiot. I remembered to open the chat room. I forgot to tell you the chat room is open. It is open. And I'll try to remember to do that on both Monday and Tuesday when we return at 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Keep rolling through the calls. I was about to go to, well, there he is. I thought 305 dropped off. But let's go to 305. I think I can get him on here. The system will cooperate. Hey, 305, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. DJ from Miami.
DJ from Miami, 305 Live. What's up?
I got a couple things. My first thing is the JR thing. Do you think that they're really going to have him call a match? And do you think he'll come back in a future calling matches? And where did he... Wait, let me ask you one more thing before that.
Yeah.
When did he get approached to do this? I forgot to ask you that in the very beginning.
When did he what?
Get approached to do the match.
Oh, I would assume fairly recently. I don't think he was going to... I mean, he has his one-man show. Christ, probably taking place right now in Orlando. I had one yesterday as well. And I don't think there was any plan of bringing him in for WrestleMania necessarily. And so I think this came together very recently. And he hasn't denied the fact that he's doing some business with WWE. And Jim Ross is usually pretty good. If there's BS out there, he'll call people on it and say, no, absolutely nothing to it, such as when he was rumored to be showing up on Impact Wrestling television. He hasn't done that here. And so, yeah, I do think, DJ, that he's going to be there. I couldn't tell you in what capacity. I assume calling a match, but I don't know which match or anything like that. But I think it's great that WWE bringing Jim Ross in for this.
Do you think he'll be, bring back more, or do you think he'll bring him back full time sooner or later?
Obviously, his wife passed, and it's going to be, in a way, a feel-good moment to see him come out. I mean, I'm just amazed by his professionalism, whatever you want to call it. The fact that his wife passed, and now he still kept his commitments. He's still doing his one-man shows. He still appeared, I think, at WrestleCon. That's amazing. And, I hope he looks back on it and feels it was the right decision. You know, you just don't know until you get there how it's going to be. But so far, the reports have been positive about Jim that I've heard. And so hopefully this is a good move for him. And as far as him coming back on a regular basis, he has, he works with Access. I don't know that WWE is going to be crazy about that, but I wouldn't be surprised, knowing Jim Ross, if he had some kind of a loophole in the contract, or, not a loophole, but just something put in to say, hey, yeah, I work with you guys, but if WWE comes calling, and that's just a total guess. But overseas, he did some work for World of Sport, and with that cranking up, they're ordering episodes for ITV. That's a big deal, and I think WWE is going to want Jim Ross involved with them, not necessarily calling World of Sport for ITV on a regular basis. So that may have something to do with it as well. So, yeah, I mean, we'll wait and see. I don't know in what capacity they're bringing him back, if it's a one-off, but it's JR, and he's usually very forthcoming about it. So I think he'll tell you himself in the next couple of days, whether it's his blog or his podcast.
I got one more thing. My second thing is Bischoff. Do you think he's going to be the general manager? Do you think he'll come in today or tomorrow? Or what do you think is really going to happen with the general manager? And do you really think it's going to be Bischoff?
Very good. Thank you, DJ. John, Eric Bischoff. I've been thinking about Kurt Angle as the GM, but admittedly, that's who I wanted to see in there before Mick Foley ended up getting the gig. And they may have something completely different in mind for Kurt Angle. Is Eric Bischoff, is he a candidate, do you think, for this GM job?
It would be an interesting surprise if Eric Bischoff was brought back as a general manager. He plays a very good heel general manager, and I feel like we don't really need, because with the whole commissioner general manager setup, it almost kind of needs a babyface general manager with, to counterbalance overbearing Stephanie McMahon. I agree with, if Kurt Angle came in as a babyface, he can fill in that role as general manager, because he's done, I thought he did a solid job as a heel general manager before, when he was on SmackDown in the wheelchair. I agree with you that I think Kurt Angle would be a good choice. Plus, he can really go in the ring and put on a much better match than, Shane McMahon.
Yeah, it's easier to write to Eric Bischoff being on, being the general manager. If you're creative, it's much easier to get to that point. I don't know that they care, because it's, you just fired Mick Foley. You would think, from a storyline standpoint, the Steph character would want somebody that she thinks is going to be in line with her that's more likely to be Eric Bischoff than it is Kurt Angle. But again, I don't know that they care. I haven't really given much thought to Eric in that position. Thought he did a great job with the induction presentation speech of Dallas Page the other night at the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in the Hall of Fame sooner rather than later, but I guess I just haven't given a lot of thought to Eric being the guy. If it is, you know, I'm guessing it'd be kind of short-term. There's a bit of been there and done that when it comes to Eric being the GM, and so I would hope they would have a new wrinkle on it. That said, I felt the same way about Mick Foley coming back, and it turned out to be a pretty good run. 616, who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Eric from Grand Rapids.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Hey, did you see if Lesnar was a title tonight? I heard Taz saying this on his podcast yesterday. Do you think Finn Balor gets it tomorrow, or what do you think is going to happen with the title if Lesnar wins tonight? And that's all I got.
Gotcha, Eric. Thank you very much. I'll push you back. I know we got a little bit of feedback coming from here, some background noise, I think it is. Finn Balor, I mean, we know he's medically cleared. He's been working house shows. Kind of surprised he didn't end up on TV before WrestleMania. Not sure if they reintroduce him tonight. The whole scenario with Brock Lesnar dropping the title on Monday night, I mean, I've been throwing that out. I'd have heel Reigns be the one that does it, and Paul Heyman joins up with Roman Reigns, pointing to the fact that, yeah, it was time to get off the Brock Lesnar bandwagon when he got beat by the 50-year-old Goldberg. I think that writes itself. I don't know that they'll have any interest in doing that. But, John, your thoughts on the possibility of Finn Balor being that guy? He won the championship, one night after Summer? Was it after Summer? So I can't remember the exact scenario. But, he's certainly in play for this, whether it's today, tomorrow, or even Tuesday.
Or he won the title at SummerSlam because this was
gotcha.
Right after. This was right.
That's
after
right.
The
he had to forfeit the next night.
Yeah. What do you call it? And he won a four-way to. He beat Roman Reigns to get the title shot at the time cleanly. I don't feel like I'm not sure where they'll go with Finn Balor if he wins the title tomorrow. I feel like Reigns as a heel would be the way to go. If Finn Balor returns tonight, though, I think it'll be more of a more like a fun thing where where you have like a Legends run in and Finn Balor makes a surprise return. Maybe like if The Rock shows up. That doesn't really fit. But like in the same way John Cena came back last year and helped out The Rock, or. Like with the Legends coming up, I feel like we'll get a surprise cameo by Finn Balor, but he won't be instigating any storylines yet because he wasn't really in any WrestleMania plans due to the injury.
I think the match to watch for him would be Triple H and Seth Rollins. Balor, it's awkward because he had to be when he was written out, Seth Rollins was laughing at him for being injured, and he was the heel. And so it was like, well, when Balor comes back, he'll feud with Rollins, obviously. Well, Rollins is a babyface now. And I don't think they should turn Finn Balor. I know a lot of people who loved his work in New Japan will point to the fact that he plays a great heel. I just think WWE looks at it the same way I do. There's a lot of money to be made with this guy off of merch. It's not a Roman Reigns situation where people are booing him. People like this guy. You know, could you turn him? Reunite the club? I know people are always looking at that. Yeah. Here's a scenario I've been throwing out, though. If there's a trade, there's been a lot of speculation of AJ Styles somehow coming to Raw. Some have pointed to Roman Reigns going to SmackDown. But I've said, all right, if they're going to move AJ to Raw, move Balor to SmackDown. Balor against Bray Wyatt I think is intriguing, John. I think that's a fresh matchup. And SmackDown loses a great worker, but they gain a great worker in Finn Balor.
Yeah, Balor could have a lot of good matches with a lot of people. I feel like, you know, like if they were going to, going back to the whole reunite the club situation, I feel like it would have been better as baby faces. If you could get Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows as baby faces. But yeah, no, if Brawl was going to get AJ Styles, they should totally give SmackDown Finn Balor, and he'll have a fresh start because he barely got, you know, just do anything on Raw, and they've got a lot out of AJ Styles. They'll have a lot they can do with Finn Balor.
773-897-6321 is the number to call. 717 coming up in a minute. 917 on deck. 347-561 in that order. If you would like to join us today, just remember, once you call the number, press 1 on your phone, and that will let us know that you want to do more than just listen to the show. I am Jason Powell. He is John Moore. This is ProWrestling.net Live. We are an hour and 25 minutes away from WrestleMania's kickoff show beginning. I will be here tomorrow with Hayden Gleed, .net staffer, and again on Tuesday with Brian Fritz, BetweenTheRopes.com. 3 Central, 4 Eastern, a little bit of a different start time. That's my preferred start time, but if we did that today, we'd run right up to WrestleMania kickoff show. I got to have a little bit of gap in between, folks, but we are talking all things WrestleMania. A reminder on the main page, the very top story you will see is the $2 special for .net membership. You'll get a coupon code within there for your $2 for 1 month to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. You can hear all of our exclusive audio content, well, ever. We would love to have you sample us, but if you are ready to commit long-term, you're not going to find a better time to do it. These are our best sale prices of 2017 for 6 months of membership and the annual membership. 6 months breaks down to an average of $4.50 a month. That's saving $3 every month off of our usual membership rate. The annual membership brings it down to $4 per month. So huge savings. Jump on this. We don't have these sales. Again, you're not going to find a better deal on 6 month or annual in all of 2017, but you also have that $2 for 1 month option. Enjoy WrestleMania ad-free at ProWrestling.net. Hear the .net Triple Threat later tonight with myself, Jake Barnett, and Will Pruitt discussing WrestleMania 33. Just jump on it while you can, folks, because this is if I do say so myself, a hell of a deal. All the details, again, available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions, email me, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Thanks again to the member who pointed out that I could annoy people with that song. Or you can follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. 917, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Don from New York, member, first-time caller, calling live from WrestleMania.
Awesome, Don. What's going on? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, and I apologize for any background noise. I'll put you guys on mute if it gets a little rowdy. We're trying to get into the building now. The line is huge. But
so far,
it should be
so
a really good.
Good
night. So far, so good. I learned from the folks at Dallas last year, and I said, well, let's get here early so we can get in for 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
so,
boy, that
first,
was a tough one last year for you guys.
Yeah. Okay, so first thing is, I'm the guy that wrote into Q&A a couple weeks ago. My wife and I were arguing over The Undertaker and Roman Reigns. I think we've come to a happy medium. We've come to a happy medium. So the prediction is Undertaker wins. Roman Reigns does not accept the handshake and ends up laying him out at the end. And everybody's happy. Taker gets his win. Reigns goes heel. Thoughts?
I like it, John. I like it a lot. It's one of many scenarios, but that's high on my list of a preferred finishes for WrestleMania Undertaker Roman Reigns.
I like it as well. I almost want to see them let it stew a little bit, like the whole will he turn heel. I mean, if they foreshadow it, of course he's turning heel, but it'll probably be cool if they, like, you know, like he doesn't go all out betrayal on the first night, where you sort of see the full-on heel turn tomorrow night on Raw.
What else you got for us, Don?
Okay, number two, I was at the Hall of Fame on Friday night. It was a great night. It ran close to 4 hours, and we were talking about it, and I don't want to sound like a bad guy here. The Eric LeGrand story is fantastic, but between him and Dana, the Ultimate Warrior's wife, that went on for about 45 minutes. By the end of that, the crowd was just, we were just dead. And secondly, because his audio wasn't hooked up properly, we couldn't hear him. So I'm wondering for the future if they shouldn't just, like, do the award, that's fine, but do it backstage, show a video package, something, because that really just, like, brought everybody down. And then Kurt did a great job bringing it back up. But your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, here's my thing. I don't know how realistic it is. We can hope for it. I'm not big on the Warrior Award overall. I mean, again, do what Ultimate Warrior wanted to have done, if you're going to do anything, and that's honor someone behind the scenes in WWE. it just feels too corporate. Like they're looking for feel-good stories. Look how good we are for acknowledging this person. I'm not a fan of that. I can still be a fan of the people who received the award, and I thought Eric LeGrand did a good job, as you did. Well, you didn't get to hear much of it, unfortunately, but
no.
Trust me, he did a really nice job. Brian Fritz and I were talking this morning in the Sunday morning brunch that we do every WrestleMania Sunday, and we both came to the conclusion that, okay, realistically, they're probably going to have the Warrior Award. So in order to shorten the actual Hall of Fame ceremony, and rather than cut the speeches and give them a specific time limit, which is another solution, I just say trim down the number of entrants by one. I don't, you know, it's because you do that, and this probably goes 3.5 hours max, might even be shorter. I don't know that you need to have as many entrants every year as they do.
One final thought. You know, we were looking at the card and just looking at the matches on the pre-show versus the main show, and I was a little bummed to see the Cruiserweights and even Alexa Bliss, who I think very highly of, being on the pre-show. What's your thought on, like, the breakup of that? Do they view it just as one show, or is it kind of like, okay, you're on the pre-show, it's a little bit of a slight?
John, your thoughts?
And as for Alexa Bliss, didn't they move the women's match to the main show?
Oh, did they? I didn't even hear that.
It looks like it. I don't know that have they come out and declared anything. It looks like it was listed as kickoff, then it wasn't. So I guess it's not going to surprise me either way, John.
Yeah, no, but like I remember like on Bring It to the Table, speaking of that show, you had JBL going out saying, you have 5 million viewers watching the pre-show. Therefore, you know, you're like anyone would want that spot. So I guess there's some belief backstage that the pre-show is very important. But it can be seen as a slight that that your match is not good enough to be on the main show. So yeah, I can agree with that sentiment.
Hey Don, question for you.
Yes.
Are they letting people in yet? When do doors open?
It supposedly, I don't have a clock in front of me, but they said 3:30. I think it's well past that, and we're inching up to the gate slowly but surely.
Okay, so they must be letting people in if that's the case, because, yeah, it's 2:42 Central, 3:42 your time,
yeah,
and that's
so
good, because, you know, that's my thing. I did tie this in with the, and I'll put you on hold, Don. Thank you so much, and have a blast.
Thank you.
I hope
have
to hear from you.
Have a good show, guys, yeah.
Yeah, and if you get a chance, call in tomorrow. I'd love to hear about it.
I will.
Don is a... awesome .net member, very great about sending in results and different things like that. But, you know, I was saying with the pre-show, that's my big thing. It's like for Austin Aries and Neville, I'm guessing they open the show and that the Dre is on the USA Network special, which is the second hour. And would I love to see them on the main show? Yes. But the fact that they're on the kickoff show, I just want them to play to as much of a full crowd as possible. Last year, it was a mess. Our own .NET staffer, Jake Barnett, got caught up in that line, waiting forever. Will Pruitt got in, and then they cut off Will or they cut off Will's brother and Jake, and he couldn't get in, they couldn't get in. And so Will, they were nice enough to send him on his way. They missed most of the kickoff show. It was that bad at AT&T Stadium. You know, they've done this before at the Citrus Bowl, Camping World Stadium. I don't remember there being a lot of issues with that. So hopefully they're going to get people in there in a timely fashion, and it's going to, you know, you can't expect it to be completely full. Not everyone's going to be there for the kickoff show, but hopefully you're going to get a good enough crowd that people are going to be able to support this, and the wrestler's going to be able to feel good about it. That's my big thing. I don't want some cavernous, half-empty stadium, and these guys are out there busting their ass, and you're just kind of not getting that WrestleMania atmosphere. These guys deserve it, and I think, John, that's going to be a hell of a match.
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, Neville versus Aries. That's one of the well-built feuds in WrestleMania. I was at WrestleMania Play Symbol at Levi's Stadium a couple years ago. The problem with the whole, pre-show, this is the way they say, welcome to the WrestleMania pre-show, is even when everyone's in there, in the arena, they still treat the pre-show almost as a... And this was last year, I think that 2 years ago, where it was the Andre the Giant Battle Royale and I forgot what else, maybe a tag team turmoil or something. But You have everyone, you know, the arena was empty. Everyone was there, but they were out, you know, buying merch and at the concession stands. So that might be what we get if they get everyone in at this time. But, yeah, the Neville versus Austin Aries match should be very good. If they, and they'll probably give them time because, like, what else are you going to give time to during the pre-show?
Well, you got to get back to Booker T. God help us. Hey, we are 1 hour and 15 minutes away from WrestleMania, John, and we're going to get right to our callers in just a second. I got to ask you, I like to ask people, what is your level of enthusiasm for WrestleMania on the old 0 to 10 scale?
It's a natural 7.5. Oh, wait, it's not necessarily 8, 9, or even 10, only because a lot of the stories were booked in the last couple weeks and aren't that hype. but because it's WrestleMania, and then, like, you know, it's one of those days where you bring people over and, you know, watch a wrestling show, and then they put all the gravitas, the presentation. There are going to be some cool entrances. What movie is Triple H going to come out this year? I don't know. but, oh my God. Yeah, no, so I'm at a natural 7.5.
I come in at like a 7, and, you know, it sounds bad because, as I've said, you know, you start mentioning WrestleMania post-SummerSlam, and I'm at a natural 8, and I want to be at a 10. You know, I really do. The matchmaking hasn't been there. That said, you know, I still think this has the potential to be a hell of a show, and I hope when all is said and done, we're looking back on it going, this was a great WrestleMania, but they just didn't – they just never quite got me over the hump to where it's like, all right, I'm completely amped. And I thought WrestleMania Sunday, I'm going to wake up and feel completely differently. It's Mania Day, and I'm excited for the show. I am, but it's just I'm at a 7. And hopefully by the time the show is over, I'm going to feel like I'm at a 10. I guess that's the best way to put it. Let's go now to people who've been on hold for a while here. Let's go to 347-561. You're on deck. 347, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. Corey from New York.
Corey, good to hear from you. The Work Shoot Podcast at
Blog Talk Radio. Work Shoot Podcast. Perfect. Just had a couple of quick thoughts / questions. One, did either one of you guys get a chance to watch this Ricochet versus Keith Lee match, which everyone apparently is saying might be the best match of the non-WrestleMania weekend?
No, but I know Zach Zimmerman was raving about it. John, did you see that?
No, I haven't gotten to see it either. But, like, the greatest matches I've seen in the last couple of years, especially, you know, attending Lucha Underground Live many times, have involved Ricochet, so I wouldn't be surprised. That guy is like a video game character, but not in the sense where he looks fake. He makes, like, video games come to life, if that's is a good way to explain how Ricochet works.
Yeah, and Corey, it just... From reading Zach's review, Zach is .NET staffer Zach Zimmerman. Follow him online at .NET Zim. And he has been live tweeting and reporting on all the secondary shows that he's attended, and it's a ton of them to the point that I think last night Zach Zimmerman may have reached his limit, which is amazing because Zach sees a ton of wrestling, but I think he finally hit that overload. That said, I think he went to one more show after he did, so he's one hell of a trooper. But it just sounds like Keith Lee is just tearing it up down there.
Yeah, I got a chance to watch the match this morning, and I thought it was – I don't know how long his deal is with WNN or any of these companies, but this guy should definitely be in NXT. The guy's 300 and, like, 20 or 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Almost, I guess, almost 7 foot, I guess, or 6'9", or something like that. And guy moves – doesn't move like a cruiserweight, but as they were saying on the broadcast, whatever style – he needs to be, he can do. And he just looks like a guy who would be the perfect fit, who's a huge guy, has the size, but also has the ability to move in the ring. You know, I think he'd be a really good fit in NXT. So I was wondering, you know, have you guys heard, like, is he on their radar as far as you know? Or, and like I said, I've only seen, like, two or three of his matches. So, I mean, I'm coming from somebody who's, like, super impressed from the limited thing I've seen.
Yeah, I saw his work in Ring of Honor when he was teaming up with Shane Taylor, and mostly their feud with War Machine. And I mean, it was really impressive then, and it sounds like he's just taking it to a whole new level. The funny thing is, Ring of Honor signed Shane Taylor, thinking Keith Lee was going to sign right after him. well, Keith Lee opted out of it. And so I don't know what his deal with Evolve is, if he opted for a straight-up, you know, a certain number of dates or a year contract with Evolve. If it is more, you know, that we've seen, you have to keep some distance now. WWE wants a little distance between people working for Ring of Honor and going to work for them. So I don't know if it's already in the works and he's going there. I'm not sure, but if you're just somebody that, let's say you're more of a casual viewer, maybe you stick to WWE or WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor. Well, if you've seen Ring of Honor, you've seen Keith Lee. But if you're not familiar with the name, remember it, because this guy definitely is a standout. Corey, do you have more?
Yeah, another quick little thing, twofold. One, I thought NXT last night was a very, very good show, and for the second straight year, it most likely will be better than WrestleMania. But I was guys wondering, because I've had different people I've spoken to, what did you guys think of the main event last night? Because I thought it was a very good match. Other people thought it was too much of the Bobby Roode style of that, you know, Triple H pacing style that, you know, not everybody loves. That's one. And two, do you think this is going to be a trend, basically guys like the Hardys and Drew Galloway go to TNA Impact for a couple of years, get back in good standing, and then they're going to more than likely go right back to the Fed? Or do you think this is just coincidental? They have both done at TNA, and now they're back in the Fed.
Well, I'll start with that one. And actually, you know what, John, why don't you take the first one, and I'll save the backside of things.
Remind me, what was the first one again?
Just your thoughts on Nakamura and Roode.
Oh, yeah, Nakamura and Roode. Yeah, that tends to be the pattern of a lot of Bobby Roode matches, you know, where it is slow and methodical, and it, like, for the first, like, 4 minutes or 3 minutes. What's good about Roode's style, though, is, like, once that three-minute mark hits and then you have a solid near fall, is he really takes up and tells a good story against whatever opponent he's against in a singles match or tag team position when Bobby Roode is there. I really, you know, like both Bobby Roode versus Nakamura matches.
I did as well. I thought that, was it slow early on? Are people going to be excited about the headlock or whatever it was? I can't remember the nerve hold, whatever it was Bobby Roode applied early. No, but you know what? I think that's what WWE wants. I think that's what they're looking for at the Performance Center, is to slow down a lot of these guys who come in from the independent scene. And there's a lot to learn from working with a guy like Roode. That match started slow, and had it ended slow, well, we'd be telling a different story. They built. You know, it was a long match. They built really well. I really enjoyed it. And I think you're going to hear a lot of grumbling about Roode from people who don't look at him as being what they envisioned the NXT champion to be all about. You know, they're going to want a Shinsuke, a Finn Balor, you know, whoever that person is, that it kind of epitomizes what they think that, yeah, that young, cool promotion should be, you know, that champion should be. And but I think Roode is a good choice for now. I don't know that he's necessarily a long-term champion. He's another guy where what more can he learn from NXT? Get what you can out of him for the next 6 months. Get him up at the main roster soon, because he'll be 40 soon. The backside of that question, is this kind of the new norm with guys going to Impact? You know, potentially, I know what you're saying. The problem is, I don't know how many of those guys are going to be bringing in. Now, they did spend some money on Alberto El Patron. They were willing to spend that money on either Bully Ray or Drew Galloway, but not all three of them. Sounds like they kind of had a plan for Drew Galloway, and when he didn't take their offer because they made such a late pitch, which just now looks so ridiculous for Anthem. Like, man, you could have had this guy. He wanted to resign with you, and you waited until the last minute. But then they went to Bully. That didn't work out. And it sounds like then they went to Alberto El Patron. I don't know how much money they have to throw around. So I don't know how many guys you're going to see do that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a Jack Swagger come in there. Does he get back in good graces? If Cody ends up going back to WWE, people might look at that as, see, Cody did it. I don't think it's the same thing. I've heard Cody's, it's an open door policy. I don't think there's heat with WWE and Cody, at least from WWE's perspective. I don't know how Cody feels about not being able to use his last name. I can't imagine very pleased. I do think naturally, whether it's WWE or elsewhere, I think that's the other thing too, or Impact or elsewhere, naturally guys are going to get away, eventually come back. I think it's a feather in the cap of impact that some acts have been able to do that. And even a guy like Derek Bateman, you know, who became EC3, it's cool to see that it's not no longer the place where careers go to die. You know, if you're a WWE guy, you're on your last legs, you go there. You know, it doesn't feel like that. And so that's a really good thing. Let's see here. Last caller of the day, because we are an hour and 6 minutes away from WrestleMania 33. 561, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Dylan, and I'm actually calling from southbound on the Florida Turnpike here for WrestleMania.
Well, cool. I had a hard time making out your name, but go for it. What's going on today?
My name is Dylan. So I have a question. I'm a huge Undertaker mark. Do you think there is any possible scenario that like WWE will actually pull the trigger on where Undertaker wins tonight, but Reigns can still turn heel, or is Taker going to have to do the job?
All right. Well, thank you. It's just a little tough to hear you, so I'm going to put you on hold. Have a great time at the show. Call in tomorrow if you get a chance. Tell us about your experience. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, I mean, it's what I was going to close with anyway, John, is Taker and Reigns. To me, the most intriguing match on this show. Doesn't mean it's going to be the best match, and that's part of the appeal. How good of a match can this be? Is it going to be a good match? Is it going to be a disappointment? What's the finish? So many different questions about this match. What is your actual expectation? Not what you and I would do. What do you think they're going to do?
I honestly think they're going to go with the safest bet is to have Undertaker win. And like I mentioned earlier, if they were going to leave on a happy go home note, is have the heel turn happen tomorrow. And you don't leave WrestleMania with massive boos.
I've gone back and forth on this one. I mean, is there a scenario? How realistic do you think it is? Every time now, with Taker's age and his health, we hear the speculation this could be it for Taker. Could this be as simple as Roman Reigns beats him and Taker raises his hand, endorses him as his final act? He passes the torch and this is it for Taker.
That would be a little bit underwhelming as like the last moment for Undertaker, like this is your yard now or something like that.
I hate
the worst torch passing.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of that. Taker, they're going to ultimately do what I think he wants to do is my guess. But I don't think he works that way, you know, because I've had people question, well, if Taker wants to quietly retire, don't you let him? It's like, ultimately I do, but I sure try to twist his arm. And, hey, you know, there's a lot of money to be made off this last ride match. If we bill WrestleMania as your last match, think of the money we're going to make. That's the pitch I make to him. And Taker being the ultimate company guy, John, I think he goes for it.
Yeah. At the same time, I feel like this whole passing of the torch thing would have done better with the John Cena proposed match against Undertaker.
Here's the problem. You know, John Cena's kind of, he's a full-timer when he's there, but he's part-time, and he'll be around for a long time. Does John Cena need the torch passed to him? And I'm not endorsing the idea of Reigns getting it. John Cena's already, he's a top dog. And I'd much rather see Taker and Cena, but I don't know that it needs to be a torch-passing moment.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to be like a torch-passing moment, but like the respect between two, like, titans.
Are you excited about John Cena's match? He's, of course, teaming with Nikki, facing The Miz and Maryse. I almost said Brie Bella. That'd be awkward.
Yeah, not really, as far as like match quality is concerned. I mean, the real story of the night is, will John Cena put a ring on it? And that's the build, and that's what the build has done a solid job doing with the Miz kids and everything. And Miz has been very good. It reminded me of back in 2009 when Miz started with his anti-John Cena character, and he just took it up to another level this time around.
And also, what happens with AJ and Shane? Last question before we get out of here.
It's AJ and versus Shane in a regular match. Wake up. The one thing I just don't like about Shane matches is those weird punches he throws. Like when he single-handedly took down Randy Orton, Cody, and Ted DiBiase that one time. with those punches that hit nothing. And then last year against Undertaker, I had a non-wrestling fan in the room saying, like, why is the regular businessman doing that to that to the, you know, to the zombie guy? But yeah, at AJ, if anyone can do it, that's why AJ probably has something planned, and Shane is gonna jump from like a roller coaster or something. So, like I said, I'm not fully looking forward to it. So the expectations are low. So if they impress, then it will just be a very, you know, it'll be a very impressive match. If they don't impress, it'll be like totally expected.
Well, very good, John. Thank you for joining me today. It is always great to chat with you. Follow him online at Lil John Moore. Let me see if I can figure out how to spell this for you guys. Oh, it's just at Lil John M. LILJOHM JOHNM. Boy, that was more difficult than I expected it to be. I'm very little sleep, folks. It's WrestleMania week. We are now officially under an hour away. One thing I forgot to mention that I'll do a better job of mentioning over the next couple of days, .NET Audio, now available on Stitcher. I always thought it was. I don't use Stitcher. And sure enough, we weren't. But we are now. So if you have Stitcher and that works for you, awesome news for you. Just a reminder, we are here Monday and Tuesday. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Hayden Gleed from across the pond in England. He's already telling me how tired he is, so imagine how he's going to be tomorrow with this just the late night that he's going to have. But Hayden and I will be talking all things WrestleMania, taking your phone calls. And then on Tuesday, our good buddy Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News. He's at the show. He's in the press box. And he will be talking to us before he heads out to SmackDown on Tuesday night. Be sure to check the main page of ProWrestling.net here. We've got so much different content heading into WrestleMania. A big thanks to the staff. Everybody has worked very hard this weekend. I really appreciate that. And join me for live coverage of WrestleMania in under an hour. And again, we'll be back tomorrow, 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Easy way to remember it now, pwaudio.net. And check that main page for the $2 for 1 month of .NET membership. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you on Monday. Take care.